Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you.
David Biller, Biller and Associates, Public Insurance Adjusters. Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I'm thinking pipes freezing.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of frozen pipes, busted radiators. So rule of thumb is that at 20 degrees, and we obviously are well below that, it can only take about 6 to 8 hours for pipes to freeze. And with the wind, things always get worse. There's a lot of places and houses for pipes to freeze and radiators to freeze. And those common places for that are your exterior faucets, any pipes you have running through exterior walls, crawl spaces, attics, basements, garage. And then every year I get a bunch of calls from someone who tells me, I didn't even know I had a pipe there.
There's
some hidden space in the middle of nowhere, and you get a draft, and it hits it, and sure enough, you know, it bursts.
Right. This is the weather where you find those pipes you didn't know about.
Those weaknesses you had in the house.
Yeah. 100%.
Are those things covered?
You find out you don't have enough insulation. What? What's that?
Is that covered for pipe breaks?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Freezes, then breaks?
When you have a frozen pipe. Yeah, when you have a frozen pipe, typically everything's covered, you know, starting with the cleaning, the dry up, the mitigation, even the plumbing repair itself, if it freezes, is covered. If you have a second home, so if someone's streaming us down in Florida and they're listening to us, make sure your heat is on, because the insurance companies will always make sure that you've maintained heat. And if you don't maintain heat, you could have a problem with coverage. But other than that, it's all covered. If you have a frozen pipe, and some sure signs of that are things like, you know, slow faucets, noisy pipes, or, you know, condensation that freezes up on a pipe, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have water damage, because you do have an opportunity, as long as you catch it quickly and you thaw it gradually to thaw it out. You shut the water off, obviously. But what can happen is when pipes freeze or radiators freeze, at quick glance, it doesn't look really bad because you don't necessarily know what's wet or where the water ran. And oftentimes it gets worse as it dries.
Yeah, or as soon as it defrosts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 Is a furnace covered for goes during a cold temperature? Because mine was making noise last night that was not good. Mr. Ed a couple of times woke me up going, what the hell noise is that? I'm like, that's my furnace.
Yeah, the furnace you were thinking about replacing 6 months ago but didn't, right, that one?
No, I wasn't really thinking about replacing it. I was just kind of hoping I could just get by in life, but, you know.
Yeah, so if the furnace just goes, right, and
yeah.
So it just goes by normal wear and tear,
uh-huh.
Then the damages to the furnace are probably not covered. The repairs to the furnace are probably not covered.
No.
But if the furnace goes and you were maintaining heat and it allows your pipes to freeze, that causes a lot of water damage, all of that is covered.
Okay, so if the pipes burst open, then everything gets covered.
That's 100% correct.
Okay.
If the furnace is damaged by the water, which can happen, then the damage to the furnace is covered. You know, what we get a lot of, too, is people that are, say, down
AJ's,
in Florida.
AJ has a smile on his face. He's like, there's hope. There's hope.
What if, like, the furnace went and the entire house is imploded? Can I get into the house?
All the windows in AJ's house suddenly flung open.
Right.
Yeah, but if someone's listening, streaming down in Florida, and, you know, you have a second home up here or you have a house for sale, definitely send someone to check on it, because the heat can go out. And, you know, as long as you were maintaining heat and something happens suddenly and unforeseen and then your heat goes out and your pipes break and you have water damage, you'll get paid for that as well.
All right.
Or you should get paid for that, because I'll tell you that from day one, your insurance company's not your friend.
How can they? You're right.
I've heard.
You're right. How do they know that you weren't maintaining heat?
They'll check for your records, your utility records. So they'll look for oil deliveries.
Oh, man.
That's tricky.
Gas usage, oil usage. Oh, yeah.
Like CSI.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had insurance companies. I've seen them bring in engineers and check electrical usage. So a house that's for sale, for example, or a second home that's empty. And they'll check for electrical usage to see whether or not you're using enough electric to run a furnace. I mean, anything they can do to avoid paying you, they
try.
You
know...
Didn't need the money that much. Seriously. I've seen your houses.
Really?
Been paying the insurance money my whole life.
Yep.
Now you want to screw me? I need you one time in my life.
Got some pretty sick houses out there. Really?
How much does it cost to bring out an engineer? Let's have an engineer do the math on this, because we want to screw this guy out of $18.
We got two different rants going at the same time here.
We'll spend $300 to save $50.
Wow.
Exactly right.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it is. You know, we also get not just busted pipes, but we also get puffbacks. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, but those are usually furnace malfunctions where you wake up in the morning, you look around your house, and you got black shadows and cobwebs all over the place.
Oh,
that happens a lot of times.
I blame the cat.
I just don't clean.
Like, Marshall, what did you do, man? What'd you eat?
Puffback. That's oil furnace?
Usually, or, yeah.
Yeah.
The rapper's name, Puffback. Yeah.
It does. P. Diddy and Puffback.
What is, is that covered?
That's covered as well.
Yeah. Really?
And that actually, that can create a big mess, because that's not usually isolated to one part of your house. You literally wake up in the morning and everywhere you look, you'll just see black. And it gets on the ceiling, the walls, it gets in your cabinet.
On your face. Get that surprise look like Yosemite Sam when a bomb went off.
What's that from? Is that that's just not getting your furnace serviced, right?
Oftentimes, yeah. It's usually like a delayed ignition is what'll cause something like that. There are other causes of it, but you know, usually that's one of the reasons why they tell you to clean and service your furnace.
Yeah.
Because it prevents something like that.
I wasn't really good at that stuff when I first became a homeowner, but then I realized how much money you save by just changing all your filters and servicing everything.
Yeah, for $150 last year, I could have saved how much this year?
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way, too.
Exactly.
We had a puffback once in our house when I was growing up in Stanford. It was really scary because we all woke up and we had, like, black rings under our nostrils.
Oh.
So it was, happened while we were asleep.
Like a bad trip.
And it's like, wow,
right.
Thank God we woke up.
Right.
Like, that could have been really bad.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That's scary.
It's, it's not just black. It's like a black, oily mess. It
yes.
fixed everything.
Ooh. Yeah, it was really scary. Everyone had it.
David Biller, Biller and Associates is on. We're talking about this brutal cold weather snap that's coming through and how it could affect your house and what's covered. So we're going to link you up, David, to the radio station website if anyone has any questions or whatever. What about a hot tub? Because I was thinking last night, wow, we're gonna find out if my hot tub heater is in good shape.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Funny you said that, because I was out there last night with a tarp and a space heater making sure I didn't freeze. But yeah, you know, if it's plugged in and working and otherwise operable and it freezes, that could be covered as well.
Now, what does operable mean? I have a feeling the insurance company will say, well, let's see the records on this. Let's bring an engineer out.
Right.
Like I changed the heater on this last year.
Yeah, for something like that, I wouldn't expect them to go that far. But like you said, $50 to save 10, so you never know.
Yeah.
When I say operable, I mean, you know, if they come out there and they see this is just an old, broken down water, you know, hot tub and it's sitting in the backyard, I can see them not wanting to pay you.
Okay.
But under most circumstances, you'll be fine.
Have a puddle of the coordinate.
Because that thing will become a huge block of ice in 5 seconds if that heater goes down.
Seriously.
Yeah.
The birds will ice skating.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now I'm going to worry about that all day.
Your hot tub's brand new.
It is. It's also not hardwired, so I don't know if that counts as being covered.
Was it battery powered?
Extension cord?
No. It's a.
Has to ride a bicycle so she
goes right through it.
There.
You know, that would be great if you want to get into that wedding dress.
Yeah. It's plugged into next door.
Yeah.
You know, it's
110?
Believe it or not, that could matter. That could matter whether or not it's hardwired or plugged in. Because if you get down into the policy, if it's hardwired, it's part of your building. If it's plugged in, it could be content.
Right.
You could have all risk coverage on your building, specified peril on your content. So, yeah, every little thing matters.
I meant it's hardwired.
These freaking insurance companies.
It will be, yeah.
They're unbelievable.
Yep.
They really are unbelievable.
I was going to say, where's your payment for the last 3 months?
What's the point?
Really?
What is the point?
We just save money ourselves, and when something breaks, we pay for it.
Somebody somewhere at the beginning of time said, oh, I got an idea.
Like the greatest scam ever.
We're going to call it insurance.
Insurance!
Right. It's to, air quote, protect you.
They're going
to
pay us each month.
Yeah, they're going to give us money.
Huge amounts.
Here's the thing. We're going to make the policy so many pages, no one's
ever going to read.
And three magic words, it's right. not covered.
Right. Yeah. And then we got to get a picture of their face when we tell them it's
awesome.
Not covered.
Right. We'll even get a cartoon Geico.
Or it costs $8,000. And guess how much your deductible is? $7,900.
Woo!
Yeah, they you have don't this see any so of that figured of the commercials
out. On TV. Oh, my God. Oh.
You think they have that little gecko call people up and give them that bad news?
That'd be nice. He's got the British accent.
That would be
prim
great.
And proper.
Yeah.
I say hello.
Oh, that thing would be on the bottom of my shoe.
Right.
It's like, what happened? He told me my deductible.
Geico guts.
Yeah. Oops.
What's that in your tire?
David, all right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
And good luck.
The sound of a dumbass being rescued from a chimney. Let's go to the news report.
Silver Spring man who found an intruder trapped in his chimney yesterday morning. Firefighters busted through a living room wall and spent more than 90 minutes getting the suspect out of the chimney.
90 minutes.
You said, wait, 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
I'm painting the picture here.
It's a very excited read of the details of this story here.
Frustrated actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, just figure 7:30, 8:30, like right around 9 o'clock. Just say, all right, they finally got him out. Nice. Just think about all that time.
That's when they found him.
That's when they started to take the wall down.
Right. Yeah, he was there before then.
Yeah. How long before the owner said, all right, I'll call the cops because I'm leaving you in there for a while.
Yeah.
Like, so you thought you were going to rip me off, huh? How'd that work out?
Yeah, actually it gets worse.
Hey, I'm having breakfast over here.
This is so good.
So good. Can you smell the toast?
Oh, I'm making
cinnamon
bacon.
Buns.
Bacon. Who wants waffles?
And spent more than 90 minutes getting the suspect out of the chimney. In a story you'll only see on News 4, our Derek Ward spoke to the man who called police when he heard moaning coming from inside of his wall.
Hey, now. What's going on in there?
It was your furnace.
It's AJ's furnace. Oh.
Maybe there's a man stuck in your chimney. And I thought it was my furnace.
I'll give it a couple of days, see what
AJ's
happens.
AJ's like, there's this weird smell coming from my house.
It's a funny smell, yeah.
Oh. Next year, the furnace guy comes. We found some bones in your
there's
chimney.
There's a femur in here.
Maybe you should go check, AJ.
Nah, I'm good.
What did you hear last night?
Oh.
He's cold. Oh. Whoever he is, he's cold.
He's like the pee shiver. Oh.
Your furnace is making this noise?
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh.
Ghost of Christmas past.
Like you scratched a good part of it.
Oh.
Or future, whatever. I don't know. I can't keep track of the ghosts.
It works.
Listen. Imagine hearing this sound coming from behind your walls.
What is that?
That's the guy in the chimney.
Is it the dude?
Yep.
In the chimney? They got the camera crew to record him before the wall came down.
That's
brilliant.
Awesome. Right. You're like, I can rescue me. Why is there a microphone in my ass?
What's he saying?
I'm just hearing.
Yeah, it sounds like he's being vacuumed up or he's going down a drain or something.
Right.
It sounds like when you put your hands over your ears because you don't want to hear the next person, like,
or he's thinking it's a perfect time to do turkey calls.
Oh, maybe.
The echo.
Let's hear that again.
Listen.
Just do my tongue thing.
Yeah. They're like, so what's your name?
Blah, 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 blah. Well.
Wow.
Man.
All right.
Listen. Imagine hearing this sound coming from behind your walls at 3 a.m. Things would only get strange.
All right, please help, please help.
Is his mouth smushed against the part of the chin?
Like in Young Frankenstein, remember? Remember young Frankenstein when Gene Wilder's face got hit by the bookcase?
Listen very carefully. I need you to put the kettle back.
I love that scene.
Things would only get stranger for Ibrahim
Khan. Is he saying please help?
Definitely the last words.
Yeah, please help was in there, yes.
Please
yeah.
help.
And give me some breakfast.
Things would only get stranger for Ibrahim Khan and his family in their Silver Spring home Friday night, a night that started out normal enough.
Earlier in the night, in the evening, we were watching a movie, laughing, cracking jokes. You know, we had the fireplace going.
Whoops. I was waiting for that part. The fireplace going.
Oh, man.
Please help. Put the fire out.
My feet are hot.
Ow.
You smell grilled cheese?
That's what he's doing.
Oh.
His feet are hot.
Doing the fire dance.
You know, we had the fireplace going. So, you know, we had some s'mores going.
Later, when everyone else had gone.
Yep, death by chocolate.
Yep.
That'll be the last thing you remember.
Yep. They made s'mores under me as I perished.
S'mores smells good.
That's you get to heaven and be like, oh, you can just go.
It's such a contradiction
yeah.
in life.
Right.
Like, yes.
Ooh, s'mores, chocolate.
Happy family time.
Yes. And then
3 feet through the wall.
3 feet above.
It's a guy roasting. Roasting like a cashew.
Dying. Dying trying to get oxygen.
Later, when everyone else had gone to bed, more strange noises. First outside, maybe a critter at the trash cans.
But then I kept hearing some really loud banging noises, some thudding noises, like something was banging a wall.
He checked the windows, the garage, no one in sight. But when the noises continued, he called police. Within 5 minutes, they came. They searched the house and the yard.
And they were like, there's nothing here.
They left, the noises continued, and then voices. He traced the sounds to the fireplace.
And this guy's like, ay, 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 ay.
This guy's great.
Yeah, I'm going to sing the Frito Bandito song.
And this guy's like, ay, 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 ay.
Was he singing Yoko Ono?
Was he attacking something?
Ay, 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 ay.
Yeah, what movie were they watching?
Right.
Oh, man.
That's a bad day.
Yes, it is. That's a long time in the chimney, and you're trying to do everything you can to let people know you're in there.
Right. That's just a bad day.
And then watching It's a Wonderful Life and making s'mores.
Oh, well, the police are here. Good.
20 minutes later, there's nothing here.
No, wait, no, please don't go, please don't.
You can't be this stupid.
We have a minute left of this report.
So many more details.
Let's do it.
And he's like saying like some Hail Marys, there's like some hallelujah stuff.
He called police again, and they came back, armed with heavy skepticism. He led them to the source of the noise, a fireplace. Finally, one officer listened.
And she's like, oh, my God, you're right. There's someone inside. There's someone in there.
What they did was call the fire department and paramedics. They hacked and cut through the wall.
That's when they were able to see feet. They saw someone's legs.
Brick by brick, it became clear. Someone had pried the wire cap from the chimney and climbed down and gotten stuck in the narrow duct. Hours later, the man was out, taken to the hospital. It wasn't anybody the family knew or wanted to know. They worried about his condition, but they were glad he didn't get in.
Who knows how this could have gone? This could have gone wrong, you know, a thousand different ways.
Fortunately, they're just left with a bizarre story to tell and a hole in the wall. In Silver Spring, Derek Ward, News 4.
We saw feet.
You got to take those shoes off and like tickle, tickle, tickle.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
So you wanted to steal my stuff.
That would be my bad luck.
Yeah. Oh, man.
How the s'mores taste good.
And you got to be hungry, right?
Oh, when my
God.
Out of
there. Did he smell like burnt marshmallows?
How cold is it going to be? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Does Scott Haney know?
Hello? I saw a chicken with a capon.
Hey!
Was he crossing the road?
That's the kind of chicken with a capon.
It's so cold, I saw a turtle wearing a people neck sweater.
How are you?
Good morning, good morning. It's
good
cold
morning.
Out there. You got to bundle up.
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
brutal,
not
right?
As cold as it can be. You know, the record on this day is 14 degrees set back in 1988. So we're nowhere near that. We have temperatures in the low teens out there. Some single digits in northwest and northeast Connecticut. But the wind, we're seeing gusts right now to 32 miles an hour. Ooh, that's making it feel like it's 12 degrees below zero.
Where?
In Bristol.
Bristol.
Gross.
12 degrees below zero. Canaan, 5 below. You've got West Haven. It feels like one. Stores, it feels like one.
One.
Yeah, it's just not a fun morning out there, I got to be honest with you.
Okay, so Bristol is in the lead, right? 12 below?
Hang on, let me just check one other source.
Okay.
If you will please stand by. Please stand by. Yeah, so far. We have Torrington at 10 below, Salisbury at 11 below, Bradley's at 6 below, but the worst that I've seen thus far this morning is 12 below in Bristol.
Now, the kids in Bristol are freezing.
Temperatures are dropping like a son of a bitch up here in Salisbury.
Hello.
So it's really cold. And it's going to, you know, the good news is, as AJ was just mentioning, the winds are going to subside as we move through the day today as high pressure moves over the area. So that's some good news. The temperatures are still going to be brutal. Don't get me wrong. We're going to be between about 10 and 15 today for the high. The normal high for this time of year is 35.
No.
So we're going to be significantly below that by 20 to 25 degrees, but the winds will subside. And then tonight, the numbers are even colder than this morning.
Ah!
Ew.
Ah!
No. Gross.
Can you fix that, Scott, please?
But the wind will not be as substantial. So it'll just feel like the temperatures, which will be between 1 and 10 tonight.
Yeah.
The actual temperatures.
Monosyllabic temperatures.
Perfect time to snuggle. One.
Perfect time to sneak into that wedding dress.
I don't have it yet.
Did you try it on?
No, I didn't.
No.
Because
what happened?
I wanted my mom and my sister to come.
The dress
and they
saw her.
They couldn't make it.
It ran.
You can't go try on a wedding dress by yourself. That's so depressing.
Sure you can.
No, you should have called me. I would have gone.
Oh, stop it. Are you serious?
You would have drank the champagne.
Yeah, clear eye for the straight dress.
Oh, all right. That sounds like so much fun.
I totally would have been there.
I just, you know, you ever see a deer outside and say, how the hell do you live out there?
Seriously, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How are you
talking
doing
about
that?
Me?
How do you do that?
No.
How do you do that?
How do you do that?
How do you do that? It's like see bunny rabbits. Even this time of year, I'm still seeing rabbits on my lawn. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
squirrels.
What are you doing out here?
Squirrels.
And the birds.
Build a house.
They have an opportunity to get out of here and they stick around.
Yeah, there was a bird this morning. I drove by. I flew out of a tree. I'm like, how are you flying right now?
Exactly.
So freaking cool.
Like, did the wings freeze up like a plane?
Oh, my goodness gracious. AJ, I saw you on TV yesterday talking about Bob Saget.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah, the Kevin Hogan piece on Channel 3.
Yeah, yeah. Well, before you say thank you, I didn't say you did a good job.
Well, I know.
I just saw you.
Oh. I was acknowledging you saw me. I was saying thank you for at least seeing me. Yes.
All right, you're welcome.
I know I sucked. Yeah.
No, you did a good job.
Thank you.
Very sad, right? The whole thing?
Yes.
A shock.
Shock.
Complete shock.
Just terrible. Like, what the heck? Well, stop it. Terrible.
It's weird when you have, you know, like, so we figured him as a trifecta, right? So Betty White, Bob Saget. Who was the other one?
Sidney Poitier.
Yes.
Oh, Sidney Poitier, yeah.
And Betty White and Sidney Poitier, both up there.
Well, so into the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, well.
94 and 99.
Not a shocker. Sad, but not a shocker.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And he's the one where you're like,
didn't see that coming.
Never on a list.
No way.
Yeah, no, exactly. No obits were done for him, that's for sure.
No, right. They like pre-written,
yeah,
ready,
you know,
to go. No way.
They had to scramble. Yeah.
No way.
As they start to get up there, there was nothing done for him, that's for sure.
It just makes you think, like, if you just did go, you know, did you do everything that you should have done?
Right.
Is your family ready?
I'm sure there's always more to get to.
A list of instructions behind?
No,
if you can.
Tell my mother. I was telling my mother the other day. I'm like, did I give you this guy's number and this guy's number? I'm like, they know everything. She's like, no. And I'm like, I got to get that stuff to you.
Yeah.
Before you do crush, you say, and the money's hidden behind the.
Exactly.
They'll be wondering for years. What the hell do you mean?
Where was it?
There's money?
Yep. Hysterical.
Yeah. So we weren't having a conversation with her, but Ashley was trying to provoke an argument with us about cats and dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She's a dog person.
What else is
dogs are better, Scott.
Oh, I'm going to have to tend to disagree with you.
There you go. Here's my boy. Go for it.
I'm sorry.
Get her, Scott. Get her.
Dogs are smarter. They're nicer. Cats don't care that you're home. Cats are like, oh, you're in my house.
My cat cared if I was home, that's for sure.
Dogs eat their own poop.
Cats?
He was pussyfooting around that house. And
cats?
He was like, where are you?
They look at a cardboard box five sizes smaller than them, and they're like, I think I'm going to try to squeeze in
much
that.
Like some people.
That doesn't make any sense.
How's your wedding dress going? Good?
Stop it.
Right. The cats are looking at you getting into a wedding dress saying, what's that about?
They're mocking her. They go, hey, look, I'm actually getting a wedding dress, smart. I look like a cake in a tin, don't I?
Why was she trying to fit into that?
Oh, that's brutal. You guys are brutal.
Thank you. Like the weather.
The dress fits fine when you squeeze your butt into Spanx. Hmm. I'll just say that. You got to get the Spanx on first.
Maybe you want the extra support Spanx.
You got to get the one with the hole.
Have you ever had a cat, Ashley?
Oh, God, no.
There you go, see?
You don't know what you're missing.
Which parent does this come from?
Both. Neither one of them ever had cats, and actually, she's going to kill me. But
your mother doesn't like cats?
My mother, as part of her job, dissected cats for a very long time.
Okay.
Anatomy and physiology.
Now she must die.
That's why cats don't like you. They've seen you on the posters.
Exactly. Right. That's the one right there.
Not a friend.
That's the one right there. I'm going to leave a sausage in his shoes.
The Cat News Network.
Yep. Cat News Network. Oh, my God.
They see her like, ah!
Right.
You see, no! Ashley, one of our cats is down to 8 lives after today's incident.
Today we lift a hairball in her shoe.
Oh, my God. That sounds like something PETA would protest that you're dissecting cats.
Here with the report is pudding. Pudding, what can you tell us?
And now here's Tibble's arrival report.
Well, the cat's internal system is the most similar to a human. That's why when you're studying humans, you can study cats and you can compare them. Dogs are nothing like humans, less like humans inside.
Huh. Hmm. Do you hear about the
Say
guy who got the pig
again.
Heart?
Yeah. Pig heart guy, yes.
Humans.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, the pig heart guy.
Yep.
Pig heart guy.
Right. So they transplanted an actual pig heart into a human being.
Yep.
How is this even possible?
Now I root some troubles.
I didn't realize they were so similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the guy had no choice, right? He was not susceptible, and he was out of the running for a human heart, and he was like, let's try the pig.
This was a desperation move.
Yeah. Why was he out of the running? Because they were like, we're not going to waste a good heart on you?
I don't know. I don't know. Really know the specifics. They said his medical history prevented him from getting a heart. So might have been something in his past.
And the rest of the pig was used for a barbecue.
Probably.
Oh, my God.
I didn't realize that they were so similar.
Well, as far as I understand, there's a checklist for organs, too. So, like, you can't just be like, oh, this guy's gone. His heart, here you go. It's for you now. Like, it's got to be the right size.
Yeah, they got to match it up.
Like, there's a lot of stuff that's got to work.
Get to know each other.
But also, I think if you have drug problems or whatever, they don't. Like if you're
they're
gonna waste it.
Like if you're a smoker,
like if you brought this on yourself,
right?
You know, we give the heart to an accident person,
right?
Before we give it to someone who, like, you know, tried to dismantle their heart for 20 years by smoking and eating too much,
or freebasing or something.
Right.
As soon as you get on that list for an organ transplant, they tell you all of the things that you can no longer do, and if you break one of those things, you're bumped to the bottom of the list.
They take your heart back.
That's wild, though. It's like putting a lawnmower engine in a car. There's got to be some things you got to do to that thing to make it fit, you know? You can't just,
Is there an adapter?
Perfect fit.
Is there an adapter? Yeah, exactly. Will you have, like, pig-like type of, like, tendencies now? Will you, like, suddenly want to eat out of a trough?
This guy woke up and they said, you've got a big heart. And he said, I've got a big heart? He said, no, you got a big heart.
Wasn't that song, Bruce Springsteen?
This article I'm reading does say he was too sick to qualify for a human donor.
Oh, yeah, okay. So they didn't want to waste a good human
heart. Everybody got a porky heart.
So this guy, how long has he been alive?
He's 57.
But how long has he been alive since the transplant?
With the pig heart.
Days, from what I understand.
Days. Like and, 2-3 days.
So just that is a medical miracle, is what they're saying. This is the first time it's been, like, it's a big
deal.
That
he woke up.
Yeah.
He's already.
They don't know even yet if the surgery's been fully successful.
Oh, God.
He's already out the window going, wee, wee, for the Geico commercial. With the pinwheels. Wee,
all the way home.
Wee.
He's being monitored for pig viruses, because now that he has a pig heart, he could get something called, looks like retrovirus, which is a pig virus that may be transmitted to humans.
It's amazing.
Wow.
So basically they said, look, you're going to die. We're not going to give you a good heart.
Exactly.
We're going to watch what happens.
You want to try this?
Yeah.
He said, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What have I got to lose?
And the funny thing is he walked around, he found a truffle. That's pretty cool.
Scott
just
like
walking along, all of a sudden, hey, look, a truffle. Hey, a truffle.
Anyone smell truffles?
I smell truffles.
What is this curly tail?
If he ever has a really good laugh, then he goes,
right, snorts.
Everyone's going to look at him
he
like,
snorts. What the hell?
As soon as he eats one strip of bacon, everyone better be ripping him apart.
Oh, my God.
He talks so dirty on the phone now.
Hello, is this our Los Angeles police officer?
Yes, it is. I'm Sergeant Joseph Cavastani.
Hello!
Sergeant Cavastani, thank you for calling in. Thank you for what you do.
Yes,
and
thank you.
Wow, what a weekend you had.
Seriously.
Yeah, just a little eventful.
So where were you? Bring us through everything.
Well, initially I was traveling back to the station. I was coming back from another radio call, and I was probably about a quarter mile away from the intersection, and I happened to see an object that looked like it had landed or come down onto the street.
What was your other radio call? What was the call you were
calling? Oh, that was some sort of a landlord-tenant dispute. It was not a big deal.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, it didn't register right away what it was. It took me a few seconds to realize what it was. And then when I decided to start heading towards it, it took me a few seconds, maybe about 10 seconds to get up to the intersection. And when I made it up there, I obviously saw a plane had crash landed onto the intersection, and it had landed onto the railroad tracks.
And what's going through your mind now? You're like, you know,
really?
This is
at that point. Well, in the station is actually only a block away from the airport. It's literally maybe 50 yards from that intersection. So it's not unusual to annually, we probably have about 2 to 3 planes that crash land in the area. So it's not unusual to see a plane actually go down. But, and again, when I first got to the scene, it didn't seem that unusual that a plane had gone down. What I was expecting to find was either a fire going on at the plane or the pilot deceased. But when I did get up there, he was conscious and breathing. He did suffer, you know, numerous lacerations and contusions, and there's a lot of air fuel leaking out onto the street.
Oh,
but he was alive and conscious. Yeah.
Okay, so that adds another element of danger we didn't calculate into this.
Yes, no smoking.
That at any moment this thing could just go woof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Correct.
So you radio in, or there you already have help on the way?
Yeah. Well, when I first got there, again, it was only, like I said, 50 yards from the station. There were some officers in the parking lot that did observe it go down also. But when I did get on scene, I did put out a request for help, and the units got there fairly quickly.
So you're there by yourself for, you know, I don't know, under a minute. You're like, wow, this guy's still alive, and then here's help. Now you have help.
Correct. And when I did get up to the scene, there were probably about 5 civilians that were attempting to assist him. They were actually going to pull him out of the wreckage at that point, but due to his injuries, you know, I wasn't sure if he had any spinal injuries or neck injuries, so I had them leave him there for a second. When my officers got there, I had them get some fire extinguishers just in case a fire did start, and then we stood by, and we were going to wait for the fire department to respond to, you know, assist in the rescue. I did notify over our communications to have any trains stop on the railroad track, but apparently that didn't happen in time.
So you radio in, hey, man, stop the trains.
Right.
Got to get this guy out.
Yeah.
Now you start getting the guy out, and you're like, well, this is a little bit more complicated than we thought, because the plane's mangled and he wouldn't come right out, right?
Right. Well. Again, we were going to leave him there until the fire department responded, but you know, as we were waiting, we started to hear the train or the alarms going down for the arms to for the train.
This
to
is just that. This is not good.
So someone. Yeah. So someone looks at you and says, "Hey, I thought you called to stuff those trains."
I did.
Correct. That was my thinking. I thought we were golden. I thought we had everything stopped, and all we were going to do is we were just going to contain the scene and wait for the fire department to arrive to, you know, help us out. But probably from the time that I got to the scene to the time that the train actually hit the plane, it was about 5 minutes.
Oh. That guy had one hell of a five-minute span.
Yes,
because
he did.
The FAA said the plane went up at 2:10, and at 2:15 from a body cam is the train hitting the plane. So
correct.
Within 5 minutes, this guy went from being in the air to crashing on railroad tracks
yep.
to getting pulled from a plane and just barely escaping.
Multitasking, big time.
The train hitting the plane.
With yeah. the leaking fuel
correct.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looked like there were four of you trying to pull him out all at the same time, like converging on this one small spot of the airplane.
You know, there were multiple officers there, but three officers actually were able to get hands onto him and drag him out of the plane. Again, I was just directing. I didn't actually pull him out with them. But yeah, the three officers were able to pull him out.
Now, were you the one who yelled, go, 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 go?
Everybody was yelling. I don't know if I honestly can't remember if I was yelling that or if another officer was. I do remember when the train was coming down on us, I turned around and told them, hey, get him out of there now. And then, again, the officers just did what we needed to do.
Yeah, so how close was that train when you looked over and thought, oh, boy.
You know, when the incident actually occurred... It didn't register. You know, we pulled him out, got him to safety, you know, turn around, you know, we're just in awe of the train hitting the plane. And then not till about 45 minutes, maybe an hour later, when some of us were starting to look at our footage on our body-worn videos, and that's when it hit us. We were like, hey, we're pretty close to that. And then it turned out we were probably maybe 20 feet away from it when the plane struck the or when the train struck the plane.
We did the timing of the audio from the body cam, and when mm-hmm. the officer yells "go go go," you're still in he's still in the plane, like you're at the plane, and it was
right.
4 seconds later the plane was hit by the train, and you were not
yeah,
far
right.
away. Let me play this audio for you. I get chills hearing that
because yeah.
that is so damn close.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't train you for that stuff in the academy, do they?
No way.
Yeah, how's the pilot now? Any word?
You know what? We haven't seen him since the day of the incident. The last we heard is that he was in stable condition. But I don't know. I don't actually know if he's, you know, how he's actually doing at this point.
Well, if not for the bravery of those officers at that moment,
yep.
he would be dead. And
yeah.
you know what would have been, I don't want to say funny, but
ironic.
You survive a plane crash.
Get hit
and
by
you're
train.
Like, wow, I survived. Meow, meow.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you can't.
Can you imagine
right.
that?
It's personal, yes.
Like, he survived the initial plane crash, but
yeah.
then a train hit him.
Right, like the Alanis Morissette song, is it ironic?
I was thinking Wile E. Coyote, but okay.
Yeah. It is a little Wile E. Coyote.
It's really just incredible work. I just can't believe it. I mean, was your heart pounding through your chest, or you're trained for these moments?
Well, I mean, we don't train for anything specific like this, but I've been doing this a fairly long time. I've been on the department for a little over 26 years now.
Wow.
So I've had my fair share of incidents. But yeah, this was unusual. This was highly unusual.
Yeah. Does your adrenaline slow everything down? Does that moment now seem like it was in slow motion?
Yeah. You know what? I thought we had a lot more time from the beginning of the incident to when I first saw the train. yeah, I thought we had some time to work with, but and then even when the incident was actually happening, you're right, it did slow down. I didn't realize how close it was from extricating him from the vehicle to when the train struck the plane. I didn't realize it was only 4 to 5 seconds.
And you guys were 20 feet away, but if that plane exploded, 20 feet wouldn't have seemed like 20 feet. You would have been involved in that, you know?
Right.
Unbelievable. It's really, really unbelievable. I watched that video so many times, and I think these are the videos that people need to see of police in action.
Exactly.
Here it is right here.
Yep.
Yeah. Unfriggin' real. Unreal.
You guys were awesome.
Yeah. I mean, this is a time to have a couple beers now.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
This is, all right, so you've been doing tacos. This for 26 years. This is now your number one story, right?
It's up there. It is up there.
Oh, it's up there.
In the top three. Okay, cool.
Like, what's another one in the top three?
That's going to be for my memoirs later.
So all right. I can't divulge that right now.
I got you.
I'm in negotiation.
Can't
company.
Wait to see which chapter this one is.
Yeah. I my wife's a nurse. They don't use the quiet word, you know? So I hear you. Superstition. All right. Well, thank you for what you do. Yeah. Thanks for coming on and really great work.
Yeah, great job, man.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Hey, it's our old buddy, Richie Cannata. Hey, Richie.
Hey, Richie.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Long time no talk.
Seriously.
The first time we talked to you, you were in studio with us on Long Island.
Yes. Wow. That's right.
You don't even remember that.
He's like, no.
How many times people walk up to you and say, hey, you remember what I am? No.
How was that guy? Remember?
Yeah, no.
Well, no.
I give them a window of anything over 10 minutes I'm not going to remember. So.
Okay, that's cool.
You're like a goldfish.
I go with five.
At the end of this interview, he'll be like, who am I talking to?
Yeah, who are you guys?
Yeah. Richie Cannata, former member of Billy Joel's original band from 76 to 81, the good years. Really the best years.
Yeah.
Really the sweet spot.
Well, he made some good records. It's the meat and potatoes of the set list today, you know?
Yes. And you're like the Lucky Charm, too, that you started on Turnstiles, and that was the album, his first album to sell over 1 million copies.
Right. That was the one that we put the band together, which was Liberty, myself, Doug, and Russell. And we made some music. He, you know, left Hollywood and came back to New York. And here we are still 45 years later playing that music.
Yeah, that was the key, right, to get away from those L.A. musicians and get that Billy Joel New York sound. New York musicians. And, you know, Billy's credited with writing all these songs, true, but the music parts, you guys did your own lines, right?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. We were all in a room together, unlike how records are made this day, with a lot of screening, a lot of space bars, a lot of auto-tuning and melodyning and different types of programs. We the concept was play in time, sing in tune, and get into the room and do it, you know, so... that's why those records sound the way they do, and that's why 45 years later you're still listening to them.
They're timeless.
Very heavy human content to it.
I remember you telling us the story about New York State of Mind, which was when you joined the band, right? He already had the track basically done, and he played you the song, and this is before he had a sax player. And he said, right. I'd like you to put a saxophone here.
It all happened very quickly. It was, a matter of a month that... Doug and Lib had cut the basic track to New York State of Mind, and they had come to see me play out here on Long Island, and they invited me to the studio, Ultrasonic Studios, and I walked in, and he said, this is the song I want you to play on, and it was the basic track to New York State of Mind.
Nice. Were there words to it yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was words.
Okay,
was,
so you knew it was a New York, it was, this is New York.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you draw on? When you thought, I got to put a sax for a New York song.
If I remember correctly, not sure if it was the final vocal, but there definitely was some lyrics that I knew about.
But you knew enough about the song that this is a song about being in a New York frame of mind, state of mind, and now you're going to play the sax. Like, did you draw on another song or another sax player or a vibe?
On that track, I didn't. I just went with my gut. But I channeled, you know, there was Mike Brecker was John Coltrane, Charlie Parker, you know, all the guys I've listened to in all the years. It was one of these, I was channeling them, so to speak, but it was just me digging deep and playing, and Billy inspired me tremendously.
Yeah, no yakety sax here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have sucked.
That was the first one you laid down too, right? It didn't.
It was the very first song I played with him. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It really was.
But yeah. When you laid down that sax solo, it just came to you. You just riffed that out.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it was very early morning. It was like a 4 o'clock, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning recording session. And the engineer, Bruce Botnick at the time, said, think of the, he gave me a New York kind of like inspiration, and I went with it, and it happened. All the solos I played with Billy were basically all one take. First,
really?
Takes,
wow.
Know.
That's amazing.
Now, but were these riffs that you had worked on, like you were kind of tinkering around with this, and then you go in studio and you just let it rip? No. Wow.
Nope. No, it was in my head. It was from the universe, from God, from the stars.
Wow. Just playing right, the universe playing through you.
It was divine.
Yep. Just get it right. That's how we, most musicians are. You know, there's music in the universe and we hear it. Our job is to record it, play it, and give it back. You know?
Man.
It's out there. We just gotta get the antennas right and bring it in.
That's mind blowing.
Yeah.
You know, when I listen to Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, which is an epic song with many parts, it's a mini play.
It is.
Really, it's like a 7-minute play.
It can be a movie.
It is. There's no doubt about it.
And there's so many different changes in parts. How many instruments do you play on that?
Well, I play tenor, is the melody, the theme melody.
Yeah.
That's tenor saxophone. And then I play clarinet on this one, too. The song about New Orleans, that lyric, that was influenced by, this. That goes back to, what, 1976, I think. And I was just with my wife back then, and I married this woman from New Orleans. So she was actually from Lafayette. And we got married in New Orleans, and I was loving clarinet. And Billy writes this lyric song about New Orleans. I said, man, I got to just get my clarinet out. I got to do some Dixie for this.
Cool.
And that's what that was inspired, I was inspired with that one.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
It's really magical.
Charlene was definitely an influence on that solo. And it stuck. We were out on the road playing this stuff too. And Phil Ramone heard it, and we weren't sure what the hell we were doing. You know, and Phil Ramone heard us. We did a Carnegie Hall show. And he came to hear us at Carnegie Hall. I was supposed to play one night. We ended up playing like 3 or 4. And he said, man, you guys got to get into the studio and do this. So we just put from, you know, up on 57th Street to down to 52nd Street. We did a short little trip downtown and went into the studio and recorded. You know,
wow.
But he believed in us, and he saw that we were the band. And Billy's quote was, love me, love my band, you know, because that was how we played, you know.
Yeah.
We still are doing it today with the Lords, you know.
Richie Cannata, member of Billy Joel's original band from 76 to 81 on the Lords of 52nd Street, playing at the Ridgefield Playhouse Saturday the 22nd. We're linked up. These shows sell right out.
It's an amazing show.
You have Billy's original band,
yeah,
hotter than ever, cranking out all of the songs that you want to hear. It's really something special.
It is.
It is special with us because we're doing it in the same keys. We're doing it with energy like you would not believe. Liberty's out of his mind.
Yep.
He's so good, and Russ is very supportive of all the parts, and we're just having a great time doing it. I'm very, very proud of the band. You know, I'm very particular. I'm the MD. I make sure they're playing it like we did it back in the day, so... You know, there's no...
you're that guy. You're the James Brown of the band.
Exactly.
On time.
Yeah. Okay, that third song, the second part, you missed a note.
Yeah.
You're that guy.
You were a hair light there. Tighten it up.
Yeah.
I give him the stink eye. I look at him from, you know, I go, what was that? You know, and then they all cringe a little bit, but it's all fun, but it makes for a tighter band and tighter music, you know?
Well, yeah, you want to know that someone's paying attention, mm-hmm. and you want to know that there's some quality control.
Don't get stink on
it. And it brings the band back in like, oh, yeah, that's right. I got to be on my A game here.
Whoops.
You know, we're playing like we mean it.
That's two stink eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, the Ridgefield Playhouse, and, you know, we've been out here doing it a long time, one of the greatest venues in America.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody says that.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's really Allison, who's the person we deal with over there. She's been fantastic. This is going to be our fifth time playing there, and we love it, and it's going to be a great night. We're going to do un-COVID it, and we're going to have some fun, and we're going to have people with no opening act, just us, and that's just going to be a lot of great music.
Yeah, we don't want an opening act. We just want you guys to come out and play all night.
Exactly.
What do you? Who comes up with the set list?
I do. Yeah.
Nice.
I do. It's my hardest job because I have about 200 songs to pick from.
True.
Man, isn't that a great problem?
Yep.
Yeah, no.
So I'm guessing out with a hit, right? You got to come out of the gate with something hot.
I like to go deep. I always like to go deep. I'm not sure. Every time I go deep, I go, are they going to get it? You know, are they going to get this song? You know? And every time I do, people go, oh, I'm so glad you did Rosalinda's Eyes.
Yeah, I think when I saw you guys, you start with Stiletto.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
That was pretty bold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing. A deep cut from you guys is still a freaking hit.
Exactly.
The only reason it wasn't a hit is because there was eight other hit songs on the album.
It's not what
not
the hell is
all
that?
All of
yeah.
them could get airplay.
Yeah.
So here was the concept behind that, guys, which is really interesting. You to hear a hit, quote unquote, you had to put the album on. That was that thing called an acetate, you know, the actual album.
Yeah.
So you're gonna hear that song probably as much as you hear the hit, right? Where these days, when they drop a single, that's the only song you hear.
That's right.
You don't really hear the rest of the, if there isn't even an album that follows it, right? But back when we made albums, if you want, let's say the fourth cut was the hit. Well, the three before that, you're going to listen to anyway. So they became very much favorites for our fans.
However, one of your great albums would just be all, it's all hits, really. It's not that we just heard the songs a lot, because I listened to Foreigner Double Vision a million times because I bought the album. There's like four good songs on the album.
Yeah.
But when you put the needle down on Billy Joel's The Stranger, it's moving out. It's The Stranger, Just the Way You Are. Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. Vienna, Only the Good Die Young. She's Always a Woman. Get it Right the First Time. I mean,
you put it down and walk away and just let it, let
not
it do
a bum
its
in
thing.
The bunch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's fun. We did Don't Ask Me Why, which we haven't done in a while. And again, when we made these records, we were the percussion players. I played clave on it and keyboards and stuff. But I said, this is not going to go over, but I'm going to try it anyway. And people stood up. They loved it. We got a standing ovation.
That's awesome.
So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all fun, man. It's really great. It's great to be alive. It's great to be playing with Liberty and Russ and my band. I'm so blessed. And Billy loves it. Billy loves the band.
Cool.
Tell him anytime he wants to come down and see how it's done, he's welcome to come in. He doesn't have to buy a ticket.
Exactly. And then jump in.
That's awesome of you guys.
Richie, thanks for coming on, man. Thank you for your friendship.
At some point he's going to do it.
Yeah.
I'll bet you he will. You know, I like where everyone is now. Like, you guys are, you know, all good, and everybody's having a good time, and we get the benefit because we love the music and we get to see you.
Exactly.
So.
Well, Liberty's never played this good in his whole life since he's had a kind of a reunion, a reconciliation with Billy. They had a rough moment, but they're best friends now, and Liberty is showing it in his playing. So, and I'm really proud of Lib and Billy for being buddies again.
You know,
really
because
happy.
We as the children, we want mommy and daddy to get along.
We
understand mommy and daddy might not be wanting to live together anymore, but we just want mommy and daddy to love each other.
Exactly. Right.
So we're very, very happy about all that, you know?
That's what's happening between Liv and Billy, and it's really amazing. It really is. And my relationship has always been great with him. You know, he's one or two towns over from me here on Long Island. And we've been friends for a long time and for a good reason. Yeah. We made some great music together.
Oh, no doubt.
Yep.
All right, we're linked up on the website. We got to get you back here, man.
Yep.
Thank you, brother.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.